This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Shaoning and Roshan. Now, in about half an hour, we're going to be speaking about Malaysia's 5G deployment and how that could be delayed because of the coronavirus. But in the meantime, we're taking a look at mental health this morning. It's an issue that's often overlooked. And the thing is, the costs of mental health go beyond well-being. There are also significant economic implications.
According to a recent study by an NGO, Relate Mental Health Malaysia, the cost of mental health issues in the workplace is estimated at 14.5 billion ringgit in 2018. This comes out to an average of about 946 ringgit per employee.
Yeah, I think it's one of those issues where I think people don't want to talk about at all. You know, it's kind of swept under the carpet as if like we never get stressed. Nothing really bothers us. We are invincible. And I think that's actually very dangerous to have that kind of mindset in any office.
Yeah, so Relate's study suggests that here in Malaysia, employees are more likely to actually start reporting the physical elements of depression and anxiety. So constant pain, for example.
Headaches.
And rather than actually coming out and acknowledging the fact that they may have a mental health problem. So for more insight into the findings of the report, we have on the line with us this morning, Dr. Chua Suk Ning, founder of Relate Malaysia. Thank you for joining us this morning, Dr. Chua. Now, your study shows that the average cost of mental health per employee is 946 ringgit. So how did you come to this figure?
So by estimating, we estimated the business cost of absenteeism, presenteeism and staff turnover due to mental health issues. So basically, we took a lot of publicly available data, government published data like the total number of people working, the average pay in 2018, and then we estimated these costs. Again, we want to estimate that we really took a very conservative estimate, and the cost specific to organizations, depending on their average pay, is likely to be higher.
And you brought up the issue of presenteeism in the report, which accounts for 68% of the total 14 billion ringgit cost there. What does this mean in the context of mental health in the workplace?
So this term usually refers to working while unwell. And you also use this term to refer to working while unwell when you're physically unwell. But the report specifically estimates working while having poor mental health. So we know that mental health is important for focusing, concentrating, your physical health. So when your mental health deteriorates, it does affect your ability to perform to the fullest of your potential because it affects whether you remember things, it can affect your concentration, your focus, and overall productivity.
Now, many employers believe that investments in mental health programs aren't worth it. Now, how do we even begin to change this mindset?
So I think there are a number of different reasons why employers don't see investing in mental health programs as worth it. And I want to mention that globally is the same problem. So it's not just like a Malaysian problem. Sometimes employers don't really believe that mental health issues exist. So this is just, they attribute it to employers being lazy. So this is partly due to, I think, a misunderstanding or lack of knowledge about what mental health issues are. Occasionally, especially for the smaller organizations, they might not see this as a priority for them. They have many other different costs that they are incurring, and mental health investment seems a bit as a luxury item, right, rather than an essential item. I think this report really emphasizes the point that it is not a luxury item, especially for today's world where we do see a high prevalence of people with mental health issues. So investing in it is a necessity.
So Dr. Chua, from your observations, what has been effective in combating the stigma against mental health in the workplace?
So effective campaigns usually have several key components. So education is definitely important. Teaching people what mental health is, not just the negative side of it, but the positive side. How do we keep and promote good mental health? And what are mental health conditions, right? It's not about craziness. It's not that there's some inherent flaw with you, but it's a serious health condition that actually 80% of the population will have sometime in their life. So that's the first part, so education. And I think more and more organizations are doing this. And the second thing, however, that's really important that perhaps fewer organizations are doing is contact. system. We've educated, but people still need to meet other people who are open with their mental health conditions. Obviously, in a workplace, you do know, and you probably have friends and family and coworkers who are struggling with their mental health, but they may not come out of it, or it still remains some sort of secret. So open dialogue is good. But also the research shows us that these meetings are only effective if the other person is of equal status. So sometimes these meetings are set up between, let's say, really high status individuals, and then the stigmatized individual is not of equal status. You know, it's sort of the lower status person who says, I'm coming here and I need your help. So that doesn't actually change negative attitudes at all. In fact, sometimes it actually perpetuates that. And so finally, it can't just be one-off meetings. It really has to be working together on a mutual goal, a lot of informal contact, casual contact. So you're allowing both parties a lot of opportunity to get to know each other, get to know each other as humans rather than just the label that they come with.
Now, looking at broader policy initiatives, what kind of measures would you like to see the government implement when it comes to mental health protections?
I think there is quite a bit of discussion on the policy level about what governments can do. For instance, the government is looking at reenacting the suicide registry. And I think policy is a little bit tricky, so how hard do you want to come on it? I would suggest perhaps looking at a couple of areas that other countries have already started doing. So we know that in the U.S., there's the Mental Health Parity Act, where insurance companies have to offer packages that give equal compensation to mental health issues. So there's no discrimination. So if you're going to compensate physical health to a certain extent, mental health conditions have to be compensated to the same extent. And I think that will really help people get the treatment that they need. There are also other policies in overseas that I think would be really helpful, particularly protecting people from being discriminated against because of their mental health condition. So we know that when people come forward, there are just many, many stories of people then being asked to resign, or they're just fired and they're not compensated, they're socially rejected, they're bullied. And I think that's really sad, because if we're asking people to come forward and be open with it, but then we punish them, we're creating a culture of secrecy and fear. And that's really detrimental, not just to the individual with the mental health condition, but also kind of set back this whole mental health cause and as well for the organization.
Thank you very much for speaking to us this morning, Dr. Chua. And that was Dr. Chua Sukning, founder of Relate Malaysia, talking to us about the findings of their survey on mental health. Now, one of the things that I thought was quite interesting reading the results of the survey was the fact that a lot of Malaysian employees don't hesitate to disclose mental health issues to their employers for fear of either a breach in confidentiality or that there may be repercussions. So we've been asking about this in a poll on the BFM Twitter account at BFM Radio, asking you, would you disclose a mental health issue to your employer? So far, the no votes are in the lead. So 42 people have voted, 40% said no because privacy, 31% said no, they won't care.
Yes, and 19% said they would, which is, I guess, a start. It's encouraging, but this all comes back to stigma, right? There's a part of that. People are concerned about privacy because you're not sure whether people are going to be talking about it. How secure is that relationship between and that communication between you and the company?
I think also there's concern that if you tell your bosses, right, will that affect your job prospects, mm-hmm. right? Will mm-hmm. you then not get that promotion, that pay raise, because you're thought of as not stable, someone that they can rely on, that might just take MC, you know? People have all these preconceived notions about what mental health is, right? And honestly, like what Dr. Chua said, 80% of us do face it. Because after all, what does it mean? It means that sometimes it can mean you have low mood, worry, feelings of tension and stress. Who amongst us doesn't feel that way in one way or another? But of course, there are different levels of severity. And there needs to be this open discussion. And employers, maybe they don't realise that 14.5 billion ringgit is wasted when, you know, you don't want to discuss mental health
and
issues.
And this is specifically from presenteeism, this 14.5 billion. So I think there was another, was it 6 billion from absenteeism? But 14.5 billion is a huge number. And that is the productivity lost when people suffering from mental health issues come to work anyway.
Yeah, so, you know, companies, maybe they need to be reminded how much it costs when you don't want to deal with issues of mental health.
Yeah, but, you know, when it comes to the employee side, end of the day, it is a competitive environment when you want to get a job. And are you really going to risk having that possibly impact your ability? Because if someone else has doesn't have a mental health issue, are you going to risk that in
maybe
a competitive environment?
Maybe that's why you need legislation, unfortunately.
Well, nevertheless, let us know what you think about this. Vote on the poll and do tell us why you did so. Right now, we're about to head into the 7:30 news bulletin. And then up next, we're speaking with Alvin Liu, senior economist from UOB Singapore, on the Japanese economy. That's happening after the news bulletin. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.